God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden. Sinful choices drove them out of the garden. They had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain made bad choices, including murder. The legacy of sin angered God. He chose Noah to build a huge ship called an ark. Noah's family, along with animals and birds, went aboard the ark. It rained and rained, and when the earth dried, God created a rainbow as a sign that he would never again use water to destroy all life.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah.
The story,
chapter 2. God wanted Abraham to start a new nation. God told Abraham, "Leave your country. Go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you." So Abraham accepted the task and left Haran and went to Canaan. Abraham had faith, and you know what? He had as many children as the number of stars in the sky. Gee, I feel bad for his wife. Anyway, Abraham built an altar to honor the Lord, and his wife Sarah had a son named Isaac. God continued to bless Abraham and his family then and then on.
Episode 3, From Slave to Deputy Pharaoh. Joseph had 11 older brothers who envied him and sold him into slavery. He was sold to Egypt, where he found favor with Pharaoh's officials. But then Joseph was thrown into jail for being accused of rape. He was locked up for 2 years. Joseph had the gift of interpreting the meaning of dreams. Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret. He heard Joseph could help, and he sent for him. Joseph was able to interpret the meaning of his dreams. He later became governor, and years later, Joseph saw his brothers, and he played a trick on them. He then revealed himself to his brothers. Then Jacob's entire family moved to Egypt.
Episode 4, Deliverance. So let's fast forward about 400 years, where Pharaoh's a king and the Israelites are now enslaved. Everyone's wondering, where is God? Moses is rescued, and behind the scenes, he's raised in Pharaoh's home. Moses sees the injustice in the world, and he kills someone to protect them. Moses runs away, and he makes a new life. So God meets him in the wilderness, and he talks to him through a burning bush. You would think he would know God's there for him. Well, after talking to him through the burning bush, Moses still doesn't get it, but God comes through and he protects him. And God tells him, "I am who I am," and he sends his brother to help him. Moses and Aaron try to strike a deal with Pharaoh, but Pharaoh doesn't listen, so he unleashes the 9 plagues. Pharaoh can't take it anymore, so he lets his people go. God delivers his people, and he rescues them from slavery. He kept his promise, and he showed the Israelites how great and powerful he is. God delivers time and time again, and he shows us this in this chapter of the story, episode 4, Deliverance.
Episode 5, New Commands, New Covenant. We start episode 5 with God's reminder of his deliverance and affection for Israel. He calls Moses to Mount Sinai, but after 6 weeks without their leader, Israel grows impatient. They come for help to Aaron, who introduces idols with the weighty words, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." Moses comes down, tablets in hand, to find that the people have strayed. Tablets are broken, people die, and yet Moses intervenes for Israel. God relents his judgment, and Moses goes back up to Mount Sinai to get replacement tablets. This time, he gets to see God himself, and even has to wear a veil to protect others from the Lord's residual power. A new covenant is made, and God promises to inhabit the tabernacle and guide the way by day and night to the promised land. Despite their mistakes and disloyalty, Israel remains his chosen people. For though a jealous God, he also proves in this episode, something we can all be thankful for, that he is also a merciful one.
Episode 6, Wandering. God brings his people to Kadesh. From there, they are to survey the land of Canaan, their promised land, and prepare to seize it. But their faith fails. All but Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb lock their attention on the might of the Canaanites, rather than the might of God. So God intends to destroy them. Moses intercedes, but the consequences of their sins remain. They wander in the desert for 40 years. On their way back to Kadesh, out of frustration, Moses disobeys God. So Moses and Aaron are forbidden from entering the promised land. Joshua replaces Moses.
At
After Moses dies, Joshua is chosen by God to be the new leader of the Israelites. Joshua tells the Israelites what God's plan is for them to find a new home. Joshua recruits men to charge into different cities in Canaan where people did not believe in God and worshiped idols. Kings from other cities hear that Joshua is taking over cities in Canaan. So the kings get together to take down Joshua. But with the help of God, Joshua and the Israelites defeat the kings and take over their cities. The Israelites win the battle, and now they have a new home. Joshua tells the Israelites all that they have is all because of God. If they want to be happy and live good lives, they should fear and worship God and no other idols. The Israelites promise to serve and obey God. Then Joshua writes the book of law of God to record these promises. Joshua, the servant of God and the leader of the Israelites, had died.
Episode 8, A Few Good Men and Women. Eventually, the Israelites fell into a pattern of rebellion, which led to repercussions. This would lead them to repent, which would lead them back to restoration. They would forget, and the cycle would begin again. Amongst those known as judges, those who God chose to lead his people to restoration, were Ehud and Deborah. Ehud was left-handed, an untrusted trait by a superstitious people, and he used this feature to deliver the Israelites. Deborah was a female leader in a predominantly male world. She prophesied that God's people would be delivered from oppression by a woman. Others who God chose to be his judges were Gideon, an insecure man, Samson, a man who struggled with egotism and anger management, and Othniel, a man who had to overcome living in another shadow. Despite their downfalls, these individuals remembered God when his people did not, and pursued God's heart for his people.
Chapter 9, The Faith of a Foreign Woman. So there's a famine in Israel. Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and two sons move to Moab. The sons marry local girls, Orpah and Ruth. Then the three men die. Naomi says, "Hey, the famine is over. You go home and get new husbands." Orpah says, "Fair enough." But Ruth says, "No, I'm with you, your God, your people, the lot." So they go back to Israel. It's harvest time. Ruth starts picking up the leftovers in the field for food. As God would have it, she begins in the field of Boaz, Naomi's relative. He takes a shine to her and gives her extra food. Ruth tells Naomi, and she says, "That's great. He's our relative, one of our guardian redeemers. I'll set you up. Put your best dress on and let him know you're interested." So she does, and he says, "I know you're a good girl. I know that you gave up everything for Naomi." So Boaz marries Ruth, and she gives birth to Obed, the grandfather of King David.
We all have a story, right? One of our goals as a church, and as we continue this series on the story that we're jumping back into this week, is to help all you guys learn God's story and to figure out what your story is, where your story fits, to discover where your story fits into God's story. As many of you know, throughout this year, we're going through a book called The Story, and The Story is actually just the Bible. It's God's story. It's the Bible condensed down and put into chronological order. It's the Bible word for word, but it doesn't include a lot of the Old Testament Jewish law, the genealogies, or repetition of the same stories. It's written like a novel, and it's like any normal book. It's broken up into 31 chapters. It's a great way to begin reading the Bible for the first time. And even if you have already read the Bible, it's a great new, fresh way of looking at the Bible. The chapters take about 20 minutes or so to read, and they're just, you know, obviously very exciting and entertaining and challenging. When it was explained to me earlier this year that what the story was and that we were going to be going through it this year as a church, I was excited, you know, for myself personally to dive deep into the story and learn God's word, learn the stories of the Bible, and also just for us as a church to do it together. I was very excited for us to all be all on the same page and learning and growing as a community. So this is what we want you to do with that, if you haven't started reading the story already. These girls are going to pass out some handouts that share a little bit about some action steps for the story. As they're passing those out, I'm just going to keep talking. So first of all, we want you to read the story with us. So if you haven't already, we want you to get a copy and start reading. You can purchase those today here in the back of the room right outside in the the lobby area. If you can't afford one, it's okay. You can still get one. And we're starting back in the 10th chapter. So we encourage you to read the whole story from the beginning all the way through. But if that's too much for you to do to catch up, if you haven't been reading with us already, then you can just jump in with the 10th chapter and go back and read the rest later. So we've been doing this, and we're going to continue to do this off and on throughout this year. So there'll be more breaks where you can catch up and read what you've missed. Second of all, if you aren't already involved, we'd like to invite you all to get involved in an everyday group. Our everyday groups are smaller communities within our church body that are wrestling with and figuring out how to live life on mission together. And we believe that these are just an incredibly vital and important part of the Christian life, to be connected with a group of people that you don't just see on Sunday, but that you live life together with. And in these groups, we do different things. We're going to be diving into these stories. The Everyday Youth Group, which is the group that I lead, with these girls passing out the pamphlets, are from the Everyday Youth Group. They're awesome. But yeah, we've had some incredible discussions, over the course of this year, as we've been diving into the story. And we've just been seeing how God's story can really transform our lives. And that's our prayer for everyone here today, is if you're not involved already, that you could get involved in an everyday group. You can, if you're interested in that and you're not in one already, you can talk to myself or Chris or anyone on staff. If you have a Connect card, you might have already put it in the box, but next week, whenever, you can write on there you're interested in getting involved, or you can send an email to the church. Okay, next, we want you to come and be here on Sunday mornings, to be present here and listening as we hear God's word, as we hear his story. Chris and the rest of the teaching team are going to be here just bringing these incredible stories to life for us, and we want to be here together as a community celebrating that and learning and growing together. So on the paper, everyone should have a paper now. On the bottom half of the backside, there's a few challenges on there of how to live the story. So first of all, we want you to pray for our church, to pray that God would use the story to help guide us and lead us in our lives and as a church. His word is an incredible thing, and the gospel, the good news about Jesus that we're going to get into later on in the story, and I'm stoked for that part, it has the power to transform lives and to transform our community. So we want you to pray for this. We want you to take this seriously and to pray. I pray that we would be a church that not only knows God's story, but that is a part of his story. Also, there's an opportunity for you in the table in the back where you can purchase the story to donate some money and buy an extra book for someone that can't afford it. So if you can do that, obviously we encourage you to. We want to make sure that anyone that wants to be a part of this and wants to be learning God's story together with us has the opportunity to do that. And likewise, if you can't afford one, don't feel bad. There's people that have already donated money so you can have one, so just go grab one back there. And then lastly, we want you to be thinking about people in your life that you can bring into our study of this story, whether that be through our teaching service here or through our everyday groups, or maybe it's not even through that. Maybe it's just through building friendships with them and looking for opportunities to share with them what you're learning from God's story. We have to remember that we aren't just here learning about this for ourselves, but we're here as Christians on mission, looking for opportunities to love and to serve and to share the love of Christ that we know about with all the people in our life. So that's just something that we want you to be praying about and be aware of. Obviously, we don't want you, dragging your friends here against their will if they don't want to come, but we do want you to be ready. We want you to be ready for when the Spirit begins to work and prompts the people around you to ask questions about your church and about your faith and about your God. So that's just something that's very important that we want you to be praying for. Okay, that's a lot of stuff that I just said. So if you can take one thing away from all that, it's this. We want you to get a copy of the story if you don't have one already, and we want you to read chapter 10 before next week. Next week, the teaching here in the service is going to be based on chapter 10 of the story, and in some of our groups, we're going to be diving deep, and we're going to be going into this right now. So yeah, if you maybe write it down on your paper or circle it, something, get the story, read chapter 10. All right. So now I'm just going to tell you a story. I'm going to share with you about how the Bible has influenced and changed the life of someone that I know and the generations to follow her. And this is a story of a lady named Amy. Amy grew up in a family that attended church, a family that was looked up to and admired in her community. And they were the people that everyone knew that some were even envious and jealous of. But behind closed doors, they were an absolute mess. And everything that people saw of them from the outside, it was all just appearances. The appearance of having it together and being a loving, religious, beautiful family was all fake. In her family, there were many problems. There was infidelity, drug abuse, sexual abuse, alcoholism, violence, among many other things. And as Amy was growing up in this family, even though this was all that she knew, she sensed that this way of life was wrong. So when Amy grew up and had children of her own, she really began to start asking questions and looking for answers. She decided to look for these answers in the Bible. Even though she grew up somewhat involved in a church, she had never read the Bible before. As she began to read the Bible for the very first time and started to learn God's story, she realized that there was nothing in her family, from her family's past, that resembled Jesus that she was reading about and who God was. And so she decided to leave that church that she was a part of, because she could see that her family story wasn't a part of God's story. Because of this decision to leave the church, she was sort of outcast from the family. She was shunned at family gatherings, and several of her family members cut her off. And to this day, which is, 22, 23 years later, some of her siblings still won't even speak with her. And as her kids were growing up, she knew from reading the scripture that church was an important part of God's story, and that she needed to find a body of believers, a spiritual family that resembled the God she was reading about in the Bible. And even if not just for herself, for her kids. And after many years of searching and trying to get involved in different churches, she got plugged in right up the street from her house to a church that had been there all along. I was in seventh grade when my family started attending that church. And I was so blessed. I was so blessed to have a body of believers around me, to have a youth group with friends who were Christians and adults who cared about me and loved me. And this was a place where the people knew God's story. And they knew their mission, who they were and what they did were shaped by God's story. They weren't perfect, because nobody is perfect, and no church is perfect. But this church was drastically different than the one that my mom grew up in. This church wasn't about keeping up appearances in going to church because it's what you do. No, they knew their place in God's story, and they were doing their best to live it out. So because of that, because of them knowing their place in God's story and doing their best to live it out, I started to be transformed. And the Lord was convicting me and teaching me. He was using His story and the story of His people to transform my life. And from that young age, I started to understand things and sense his guiding and His direction for my future. I dove into His story, and I fell in love with it, and I believed in it. And I just knew I wanted my life to be devoted to this story. And I began to pray that God would use my story to become a part of His story. And in high school, as I began to contemplate my future, what I was going to do next, I just knew that there had to be something more to life than money, and there had to be something more than just a job or just achieving the American dream. And I decided I wanted to know God's story. I wanted to know the Bible more deeply. And so I went to college to study it. And then somehow, through His and only His miraculous timing and His incredible goodness and power, He put the right people in my life at the right time. That led to me ending up meeting Chris Travis. And after meeting Chris and hearing what God was doing in his life, after hearing the vision God was giving him for a church that he was going to start one day, it was obvious to me that this was a church that was going to be deeply rooted in Scripture. And so I decided I wanted to come to New York and help start this church and be a part of this church. And so I did that. And that eventually led to me starting a youth group, which is the same type of group that I had growing up that helped me to learn about a God who loved me. So I just want to say, I know everyone isn't called to go study the Bible in college, and everyone isn't called, obviously, to work at or start churches. But I will say this. I will say that every single Christian, every person who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and made him the Lord of their life is called to be 100% sold out to him. Every Christian is called to put him first and to say, Jesus, what is it that you want me to do with my life? And then do that. Because we're called to live new lives that are dead to ourselves, to our families of origin, and to our cultures. We're called to be a new people, a changed people, people that are making a difference and an impact in the world. So we want you to learn God's story, to know God's story and to figure out where your story fits into his story. We want all of us together to start down a trajectory, a path, a life that's full of meaning and purpose and passion. Because God has created each and every one of us in his own image. He's given all of us talents and abilities, and these are things that are from him that he's blessed us with, that he's given to us. And he wants us to take these things that we love and we enjoy and we've been created to do and use them for him to bless others, to serve and to love and to reach out. There's so much more to this life than the things that seem appealing according to this world. And that's why we're here, right? Isn't that why we're doing any of this? Why we come to church on a Sunday morning and see each other and hear a teaching and sing songs? Because we believe God's word. We believe that his word is truth. And we believe that his story continues to be written today, and he invites us to be a part of it. We want to learn it. We want all of you and everyone together to learn about him and to allow him and him alone to start to transform our lives. If we all can do that, can you imagine what this church would be like? Even if you don't believe in God's word, it really doesn't matter, because his word has the healing power to change lives. I mean, just think about the word love that is used so often in the Bible that Jesus talks about. The word that Jesus, he said is the greatest commandment. To love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. What does it mean to love someone as yourself? Not to judge, but to love. That's healing power. That's hungry people fed. That's needs met all across our community and our city, right? Even if you don't believe it, if you love someone as yourself, that begins to bring justice to the world, peace to the world. And that's his story. That's in this book, the Bible, that we're reading. This is the truth. And, you know, we can talk about, you know, let's change Inwood, the Heights, let's change New York City, let's change the world, you know, the stuff that preachers say to get you hyped up. And it is true that God can do that. He can do that through us. But that conversation, it can't start yet. It can't start until we are doing it. It starts with all of us. It starts with you, and it starts with me. And we have to know his story, how we fit into it, what our role is. We need to embrace it, and we need to live it out to the fullest of the full. If my mom didn't begin to learn God's story and start to try to figure out how her story fit into it, I wouldn't even be here today. So this is my challenge to you all. It's to learn God's story. To dive in and say, I want to know this God. I want to understand his character. I want to understand the love that he talks about. And I want to understand about this man named Jesus who we hear about. I want to know who he is. I want to know why he did the things that he did, why he said the things that he said. And I want to learn how my story can become a part of God's story. Let us pray.